Alrighty, good morning, guys. Thank you so much for joining our webinar here today at the InTrust Group. We'll be going over the crowdfunding revolution, what investors should know. So, as a quick disclaimer, the InTrust Group does not provide investment advice or endorse any products. All information and materials are for education purposes only. All parties are encouraged to consult with their attorneys, accountants, and financial advisors before entering into any type of investment. So here's a little bit about our agenda. I'm going to be going over the InTrust Group, the self-directed IRA basics. We have FanVestor here, who will be speaking about equity crowdfunding, what it is and how it works, comparing campaign types, the importance of different regulations, and we'll have a time for Q&A. So here at the InTrust Group, you have two hosts. You have myself, which again, my name is Rachel Tokuoka. I'm the B2B Relationship Manager here. I've been at InTrust for 5 years. I onboard and educate new B2Bs on our services and many of our wonderful platforms here at the InTrust Group. And I'm passionate about building relationships and positively impacting those around me. We also have Tony Uncle, who's the Business Development Manager for the East Coast here at the InTrust Group. He's been in the retirement industry for 11 years, and he prides himself on educating investors and professionals on tax-preferred retirement accounts. So a little bit about the InTrust Group. We've been around for over 40 years. We have over $4 billion in assets under management, over 22,000 clients here at the InTrust Group, and what we provide is one single point of contact, meaning if there are any questions or issues that arise, you have one team to answer any questions that come up. So you're not bouncing around from one department to another, providing a personalized experience for each and every one of our B2Bs and clients at the InTrust Group. A little bit more about us. We are self-directed IRA administrators. Most of the staff here hold CISP designations, which is a Certified IRA Services Professional. We have nationwide offices in each time zone. We hold both in-person events and virtual webinars. And then we have national continuing education programs for other credentials. And then we hold both biannual IRA Academy, our IRA Academy, which not only the InTrust Group, but other service professionals come in and get educated. So what is a self-directed IRA? A self-directed IRA is a retirement account in which the individual investor is in charge of making all investment decisions. There's a greater opportunity for asset diversification outside of stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. There are so many things that you can invest in with a self-directed IRA, and all securities and investments are held in a retirement account administered and regulated custodian or trustee, such as the InTrust Group. Okay, so let's take a poll. We want to see how familiar you are with self-directed IRAs. One, meaning you're very interested, you probably have a self-directed IRA already. Two, you're somewhat, you have a basic understanding. Or three, you're not, and you're here to learn the basics.
Give it another couple seconds here.
Seems like for the most part, you guys are pretty well versed. A lot of you guys have an IRA established already. Awesome. So we have some of you who are somewhat, you have a basic understanding, a few who are very new to self-directed IRA. So glad to have you guys on here. Okay, so moving to the next slide, what are the benefits of self-direction? One, you can take control of your retirement account. Again, there are so many options to invest in. Today, we're talking about crowdfunding. There's real estate. There are so many options and opportunities within the self-directed space. Again, diversification, getting out of your traditional stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. And of course, the tax benefits to be in a tax sheltered account. So I'm going to kick it off and hand it over to Fanvestor. We have both Michael Golem, who's the founder and CEO, and Sarita Mitchell, who's the campaign and operations manager.
Thank you, Rachel. Good morning, everybody. Pleasure to be with you guys today. I appreciate Intrust team to inviting us to this very interesting presentation. My background, I come from capital markets, finance background. In my career, I've taken two companies public. I managed five publicly traded companies, both in New York and in London. And now I'm a CEO and founder of this company. Sarita?
Thank you, Michael. Hello, everyone. So nice to be here today. I am a certified project manager with more than 10 years of experience working in the business-to-business segment and business-to-consumer segment as well, with brands like Acumatica, which was in software, Microsoft, also in software, Bank of America, and also a Houston Business Journal Top 40 Under 40 recipient. So very excited to share in this discussion today. Back to you, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarita. All right, so let's see. Let's go, please go ahead and take a poll. We would love to know.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and close this and share the results, Michael.
Great. Interesting. Wow. Interesting split. More or less evenly split between three categories, more or less. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. All right. So let me see if we get, can you guys see my slide?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Okay, great. All right. So today we're going to talk about JABS Act and how JABS Act pretty much changed the crowdfunding or crowdfunding process or investing process in the United States. As you may recollect, the 1933 and 1934 Act, that this are the acts that have been guiding Securities Exchange Commission and all the other components of the financial markets. Now, what is JABS Act? JABS Act stands for Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act. Basically, this act was put together when we saw many companies out of the United States, startups leaving the United States and going to Japan, Singapore, London and some other at Switzerland and some other parts of the world. So this original document was passed with bipartisan support and was signed into law by President Barack Obama back in April 2012, and it's called Title III, also known as the Crowdfund Act. So there's back then it took some time for the SEC and FINRA to put together paperwork, and eventually in May 2016. This is when the first regulations came about. And then 5 years now down the road, 2021, in March, we've seen some few updates. So what are we talking about? So we have a regulation crowdfunding, Reg CF, and Regulation A+. Those are two regulations that were introduced, had been introduced, were allowed for both accredited and not accredited investors to participate in public offerings or private offerings, which previously was not available to those kind of groups. Also allows for the ticket size to be as low as $10. Imagine that anybody and everybody can now participate in this kind of transactions. This act also introduced Regulation D506C. What that means, it's that basically open up for public solicitation to everybody, where now we can use social media and data science to deliver messages across the world and bring investors from around the world. Here, we're gonna outline a couple of main items, but today I would like to focus more on Reg CFs, which are relatively more popular nowadays and taking a huge swing versus Reg A pluses. Again, let me just summarize. Reg CF Following the March 15th update, you can now raise up to $5 million every 12 months from both accredited and non-accredited investors. All of the investors can be put in SPV, so it doesn't dilute the cap table. Reg A Plus, it's $75 million every 12 months from both accredited and non-accredited investors. And the filing process is a little bit more complicated than Reg CFs, and we'll talk about it in a bit. Let's continue. Sarita?
Okay. Thank you, Michael. So, and for regulation crowdfunding eligibility rules, as an investor, it's really important to just get a general sense of what eligibility requirements are expected from issuers that are participating in offerings. So companies that are making offerings under the Reg CF must be organized in the U.S. and or a U.S. territory. So unlike Regulation A, there's no requirement for the company's place of business to be in the United States, but the U.S. company must be acting merely as a front for fundraising by a non-U.S. company. There's issuer aggregation rules that apply for instance, owners of the company that have a stake of a significant amount, so of 10%. So if someone is a investor in multiple subsidiaries of a business, there are some FINRA rules, SEC rules that do apply for issuers to abide by. The $5 million annual offering limit applies not to just the issuer filing, but also the other companies under common control with it. So next slide, please.
Just 1 second. So also what is important to point out, today we'll talk about the rules that those companies have to follow to filing and the compliance that they have to go through. This way, it will give you some level of understanding of what you can expect when you do the diligence in those companies, what you need to look for, what items available. For example, Sarita pointed out a very good point, number 3, about issue aggregation rules. What the Reg CF states that you can an issuer can go every 12 months and raise $5 million. What aggregation also speaks of is that one issuer, you cannot have the same owner have 5 different businesses push out under the same business model or close to business model this way and raise more than $5 million per year. So it's a very important distinction and everything else. Next slide, let's go. We discussed also that at the beginning, Reg CF, Reg A Plus, so we know this stuff. Reg S, stands for, it's for the foreign investors. Foreign investors can participate in the crowdfunding through the same exercise now and globally. The rule typically is that when you have some companies do in parallel, they run Reg CF and Reg S, or they run Reg A Plus and Reg S. Sometimes they also run Reg A Plus and Reg D. Why do they do that? Well, here's an example. When under Reg CF, you can only raise up to $5 million from non-accredited investors and accredited investors. But let's say a company needs more than $5 million and expects to bring in accredited investors into the play. So they sometimes in parallel run Reg D. So when at the beginning, when an investor comes in to invest in that particular offering, the question is asked, are you an accredited investor? If the person says yes, so the company that runs the process of fundraising puts that investor into a bucket of Reg D. Therefore, to continue allowing more money to be received from non-accredited investors under Reg CF. And the same thing can be done with Reg SS with 4 investors. Hopefully this makes sense. There are 4 types of specific types of securities. Straight common stock, like you can buy on the NASDAQ or NYC. Convertible notes, preferred stock, safe. So basically any quasi instruments between equity and debt. Sarita?
Oh, great. So let's just talk about just the global crowdfunding market opportunity in general and look at why this is becoming a more popular, more democratized way of investing for not both accredited and non-accredited investors. So the creator economy is now 50 million plus creators strong, and it's growing. So the compound annual growth rate is 11%. That's the trend. So what we're seeing is there's a spike in influencers and celebrities that are now entering into the market and starting their businesses. And they have an advantage because they have a great amount of influence, and they have a built-in base of customers that want to support their businesses and grow with them. So not only now are fans able to just participate as a fan, but they can also invest with their favorite celebrities. So in equity crowdfunding, we're seeing that the market was valued at $13.92 billion in 2019, but it's expected to reach $40 billion by 2026. We're also seeing transaction value expected to reach $12 billion by 2023. So these are really big numbers, and it's attracting investors that want to grow with their favorite influencers. On the commerce side of business, what we also see are celebrities and influencers that are, they're also, once they raise money for the business, they're also launching maybe a product line at the same time. So that brings in a instant or an automatic base of customers, loyal customers that will be ambassadors for that brand. So social commerce, for example, media referrals traffic to online stores, it's increased 100 times in the last 2 years. So we're seeing a lot of activity on social, which is driving a lot of business to new startups that are, you know, launching campaigns and also promoting a new product line, whether that's services or products. In 2020, the global social commerce market will increase 34% year over year. E-sales will exceed $735 billion by year 2023. And let's talk about a very hot trend for non-fungible tokens. I'm sure many people may have been hearing a little bit about this opportunity. But these are actually, basically units of data stored on digital ledgers, items such as photos, collectibles, videos, and other types of digital files that use blockchain technology to establish verified public proof of ownership. So this is a new trending opportunity for investors to get involved. And so if we're looking at sales volume in general, the surge to $2.5 billion in 2021 has really just shown a huge interest in NFTs. In 2020, the global NFT market performed at $335 million in transaction volume, pretty large. The global collectible market, so physical trading cards, games, toys are just some examples. So $370 billion, more than 1,000 times bigger. So the young market are realizing that NFTs are securities. So again, we're just showing just a little bit of trends in this marketplace. Let's go to the next slide, please.
Yeah, just one second. So just a couple other facts just to point out. By the way, we understand that Intrust does not support through IRAs support NFTs. This slide is really for just a basic overview of what is happening in crowdfunding, both in equity crowdfunding and non-equity crowdfunding, what's happening in the industry. I want to give you a couple of other interesting facts. REC CF in 2019, for the whole year, was $1.8 billion. The average ticket size of investor was $500 per investor. Q2 of 2020, the first quarter of pandemic, guess how much it was? $1.3 billion. In one quarter, and it's increased, the ticket size went up to $750. By the end of the year, the whole year was close to, it was $7.8 billion for the year of 2020. We're talking about pandemic. And it's not just because, you know, the government gave money to people and they start spending it like a Robin Hood. That could have an example of that. But It really because some traditional financial markets closed down during that time, if you guys remember, by venture capitalists, PE firms, and the startup founders and the companies just needed to raise capital. So you had good quality companies entering the crowdfunding space. Now, when they tasted that the quality of investors and a positive valuation and everything else, the market boomed. 2021, we're seeing it's the average ticket size is over $2,600. We're seeing a lot of people participating. A lot of companies that have never would consider entering the crowdfunding space are now here also, specifically because the new regulations came out, which now put all investors in one SPV on one line cap table. Very important. When it comes to NFTs, I want to tell you one thing is that it could be NFTs could be securities and non-securities. When it comes to securities, it's when you have a fractional ownership. Imagine Michael Jordan sells his last jump, video jump, and you'll have many people participating buying it. That's called fractional ownership of that one unit NFT. That is security, and that has to be done under Reg CF, Reg A Plus, or other regulations as required. If we're talking about royalties for musicians, which you can attach to NFT, that is a security. So what I'm trying to gather here and to remind you guys that when you're investing in this kind of stuff, do education, research and on the type of investment opportunity it is. Sarita?
Wonderful. And just let's dig a little bit deeper in just to US trends in equity crowdfunding. It just as Michael already mentioned, even just with the Jobs Act, it's evolving. So with the limits increasing, you know, issuers now have the opportunity to raise additional money that they weren't able to raise before. So that's been one of the biggest trends. But also we have 214.9 million raised in 2020 among equity crowdfunding campaigns. We're seeing that this is a comparison to 104 million raised in 2019. So as you can see, even though the pandemic happened, there's been an accelerated adoption of just more issuers looking to raise money from both non-accredited and accredited investors. So the trends are just continuing to grow upward in the upward direction. Regulation crowdfunding campaigns surpassed 514 million in since 2016. So again, these are just further data points to let you see that this is, again, continuing to grow. 275,000 is an average raise for 2020 successful companies. And, you know, 2020, we saw over 358,000 investors in Reg CF campaigns, and this number is continuing to increase. So to paint the picture that this is becoming a very popular way for issuers to expand or reach more investors. So let's go ahead and talk about the Form C, the due diligence. And just as Michael pointed out earlier, as an investor, the more you are informed about the actual requirements, it allows you to make informed decisions on the investments that you want to participate in. So the purpose of a Form C, all issuers that are offering a crowd CF, regulation CF campaign, they are required to show the public that they are in compliance with the SEC rules and that they are also transparent about all of their business practices. So for example, a issuer would typically, before they are even allowed to launch their campaign, they would typically consult an advisor or a SEC attorney who will help them fill out this Form C. And this Form C would include information such as, you know, reviewed financials, anything that has to do with intellectual property or material facts that all investors need to have access to. And this is very, very defined by the SEC. So this includes background checks so that we are able to communicate, you know, if someone has ever, you know, been in any type of, you're able to disclose any type of, again, material facts for investors to know, fact checking. So any debt instruments, any, you know, securities that have been previously sold, all of these details are going to be available in the Form C. So on all offerings, the Form C would be available for any investor to review. And again, this requires the investor to take just the time just to research the offers before selecting. So Michael, would you like to add any additional?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So guys, you, many of you are professional investors. So think of this Form C similar to 10Q, the annual quarterly report that is published by a publicly traded company, or something between 10Q and 10K annual report. So what the purpose of our us working through this couple of bullet points for you here is that, again, if you will decide to participate in Reg CF of a company, of an issuer, you should know that the Form C is filed with SEC. Both for both Reg CF and Reg A Plus are registered securities with SEC and requires specific paperwork filed. So you will be able to read and rely on some of the information that is published in this material, because people who published it or the officers of the company are basically providing their certain similar guarantees that you would typically do in 10Qs and everything else. So hopefully this makes sense. But again, you'll have financials, you'll have risk factors, you'll have MD&A and everything else. It requires a minimum 2 years of financials for the company. If it's a startup, it is a rubber stamp for an accountant, but still some level of financials are required. You can understand the legal structure of the company and things like that. Go ahead, Sarita.
Oh, good. No, after you, go ahead.
no worries. So this slide right here, again, this just tells you if an issuer is about to raise certain capital, what they have to go through, what compliance they have to provide to you. Sarita?
Yes. So as you can see, the larger the raise amount, the higher compliance is required for the issuer. So the disclosures, as you can see, if someone's raising $107,000, they're only providing federal tax returns to the investor. If they're raising between $107,000 and $535,000. They have reviewed reports that must be submitted by an independent CPA. Raises of $535,000 and $1,070,000, 2 years of reviewed financial statements would be required. So any raise that exceeds $1,070,000 up to $5,000,000, it requires a higher degree of audited financial statements. So the process does take longer for issuers, but investors would have full and complete access to financials to make an informed decision on their investment decision. So, and this is really important. We want to point this out to you just to show you the level of transparency that's required, the SEC requires for issuers to take. And this is done to protect investors, to give investors all information up front to make the right decision for your interest. So we kind of already touched on some of the general rules and aggregated rules. So let's just talk really quickly about top questions investors usually ask. And Michael, we can jump back and forth if you like.
Sure.
So Michael, who can participate in this type of offering?
So both accredited and not accredited investors can participate in crowdfunding offerings. Non-accredited investors still need to go through certain criteria selection.
Excellent. And so just want to add a couple of pieces of information just in case some of us on this call may already have knowledge of what makes someone an accredited investor versus a non-accredited investor. An accredited investor would be someone with a net worth of more of $1 million or more, and an annual income of $200,000 or $300,000 with a spouse. A non-accredited investor would be someone who has less than $1 million in net worth. So, and typically, just to go ahead and answer that second question, how much may I invest as a non-accredited or an accredited investor? The rules do change. So for someone who is a non-accredited investor, the rule is typically that that person cannot invest more than 5% of their annual income. And so there is, when someone decides to invest, it's important to know that so that you are prepared in case you're asked for additional verification questions when you are choosing an investment. An accredited investor does not have those limitations, but does, again, has to answer verification questions. So, Michael, let's go ahead and ask you the question, when may I have access to my funds?
Great. So so under Reg CF, you have a 12-month holding period. So when you invest in Reg CF companies, you cannot trade, even though it's registered security, you can still cannot trade during the first 12 months after the closing of the fundraising. With Reg A pluses, you can trade tomorrow as soon as the round is closed. So these are two for the specific rules. When it comes to Reg D and Reg SS, it's a standard process.
Wonderful. And next question that we typically hear is, why is it so important to understand the due diligence process for issuers? And again, we touched on this in a previous slide. Having information about what compliance requirements are expected of issuers allows the investor full transparency to any material facts about an issuer, including their financials, the state of the business, any intellectual property or any type of issued securities, so that your decision is really based on full facts that are disclosed to you by the issuer. So this is really, really important. So as we talk with different investors, we always tell you that investing in a startup is a risk, just like any investment. So knowing the risk is really, really important. Also, with startups, plans can change. The business plans can evolve and that can change. And then past performance does not guarantee future success. And then we also tell you that as you do your research, you want to also understand that as new offerings or offering rounds are made available, investors' stake may be diluted. So it depends on the company. So it's very important to choose carefully the type of company you're very interested in investing in, and knowing as much about the company as possible so that you understand exactly what decision you are making. Michael, would you like to add to that?
No, that's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
Okay. And so last question that some people may want to know, Michael, is how may I participate with Fanvestor in the future?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Sabrina. So there are two ways we can collaborate together. Number one, we have several offerings coming on board where we'll be able to accept IRA transfers into our Reg CF or Reg A Plus offerings, as long as Intrust provides for this opportunity. And number two, we are a young company. We are a young company in a very new, interesting space. If any of you are interested potentially to becoming our shareholders of Fanvestor, and you are an accredited investor, we're happy to speak with you offline about that as well.
Wonderful.
With this, we pass back to Andrew to help us with questions, Q&A. And Rachel.
All righty, guys. Well, thank you so much, Michael and Sarita, for sharing. I know I learned some really great tips about crowdfunding. So we're going to kick it off with some of the questions. You guys can actually drop your questions in the chat, and we will get to them one by one.
So first one is, can you please cover how we invest in a new apartment construction today? I believe that's just trying to get at within the crowdfunding space, probably for Michael, how would they get involved in potentially apartment construction if you know anything about that?
Well, I know a little bit about real estate because one of my IPOs, $2 billion IPO, was it was a real estate company in Europe. So I do understand real estate relatively well. I'm not sure if this question particularly for a crowdfunding per se, but overall, I think if this is a question more to Rachel, I guess, for how the IRA is directed into the part to private investments in real estate, right? Did I understand correctly the question?
Yes, I can cover that. This is Tony. You can use your IRA to invest in apartment complexes or any form of real estate, whether that's owning physical property, going through a real estate crowdfunding platform. All of those processes are available to you as a self-directed IRA owner. It's just a matter of the same process of doing your due diligence on whether that's on a real estate crowdfunding site or buying the building directly.
Okay, perfect. So it looks like the next question is, what is the business model for FanVestor and how different is it from CrowdStreet?
Very good. Okay, so thank you for this question. So FanVestor is an equity, FINRA registered equity crowdfunding platform for the creator world, for creators. So we, first and foremost, we can run on our platform RegCF, Reg A Plus, and things like that. At the same time, when we start working with the creators and frankly with their managers, lawyers who manage those influencers and celebrities, we realize they would like to do more than just equity crowdfunding. So we established for them a way to do new product launches. Let's say working with a company right now with one that wants to release their new tequila brand. And then instead of selling equity in that tequila, they just like to create different perks and experiences and different packages for the fans, basically to test the pricing, the messaging, the packaging with the fan clubs and things like that before going global. The other way, we also collaborate between influencers and their fans. The way we did our first pilot project work with iHeartMedia last year, where they wanted to use the sweepstakes charity campaign style process to raise capital for COVID-19 foundations. We work with DJ Khaled, Jonas Brothers, LA Dodgers, Ryan Seacrest, Paula Confold, Hamilton the Musical, and a bunch of other ones. And finally, right now, we are introducing the NFT module, which, and then primarily we're going to be focusing on royalty and securities for NFTs and creator space. We're already in discussions with several famous movie producers and studios, how we can take their products and bring it to the masses, and also to allow fans to finance musicians with instruments in collaboration between NFTs and royalty quasi instruments. So that's what we have. We have four product lines. So to answer your question, the difference between us and the other company is that we focused on creator economy, number one. And number two, we do four types of equity crowd collaborations: equity crowdfunding, new product launch and experiences, charities, and now NFTs, both securities and non-securities.
Thank you. Next question. Does Entrust currently offer fan investment as an investment opportunity? Please remember, Entrust does not offer, promote, or endorse any investments. However, you can use your IRA to invest in FanVestor, and I'll turn it over to them to explain the process of using your IRA to invest with them.
Great. Yeah, thank you. So absolutely. So we opened fundraising right now for friends and family ahead of our Series A round closing in a few months. It's a convertible note. It's a 20% discount with a cap on how much the valuation can be in the future. And if you are an accredited investor, you can direct IRA into our investment. For example, we already had one person moving about $235,000 investing in this particular friends and family round. And if you're interested, we can take it offline. You see our emails here and telephone number. We can take it offline and discuss how this process works and relatively straightforward.
Thank you. Next question. If I have a real estate development and want to raise $5 million, will FanVestor set up a site for me? I think you can briefly touch on that. And then for the more in-depth answer to that question, you have to take it offline.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So so we work with creators that, and influencers within support their businesses. So let's say you are you want to create a real estate project and you have somebody of a magnitude of quote unquote influencer who can support your business. With that, we will definitely create your landing page and we can create the crowdfunding space within our network, because under FINRA regulations, it has to be within our compliance environment. And of course, we will be able to do KYC email on all of your investors coming in and track the process together, working with your agency, investor relations marketing agency that will be promoting it through social media. So this is just very quick in a nutshell explanation, but I agree, it's if this is of interest, we can take it offline and give you a more precise answer.
Thank you. This next question is directly for you as well. Can a 501c3 nonprofit public charity raise funds through equity crowdfunding? What other means would you suggest?
Yes. So any entity can raise capital, but if you're raising for charity, there is no need to do equity crowdfunding. It's really a charitable. It's a different type of fundraising. Equity crowdfunding is for for-profit organizations typically. Okay. 501c3 is nonprofit, and it's the reason why it's created this way, because people who raise capital through that, they use this money for charitable causes, and therefore they don't pay taxes. Right. And but in the same time, they don't give any returns to the people who provide this kind of type of investments in the form of equity or debt. Hopefully this answers your question.
Thank you. Next question. I know every investment brings different returns. In FanVest experience as a young company, what has been a typical return for the investors? This actually tiptoes closely on ROI, so I think I'd prefer if this question was brought offline. So whoever asked the question, please contact them directly, and I'm sure they're happy to share what their returns look like. Next question. If I invest in private equity via Entrust and the company goes public via IPO, how do I convert my Entrust private holdings to a publicly tradable shares? We will help you with that. Based on your location, if you were to contact the local manager that you guys work with, we'd be happy to walk you through it, but we will work with you, the transfer agents and the private company, to make sure that is converted to a public stock, and we can also hold that stock once it's converted. Next question. Would a Martha Stewart be considered a creator / influencer?
Yes, she would be considered a creator influencer. But in order for her to run securities projects, she needs to get a clearance from SEC for the previous situation she had for insider trading, as you guys probably know.
Thank you. That's it for the questions right now. We'll keep it open for another couple of minutes. If anybody does have a question, please type it into the question box on the panel. All right, I think that's it for our questions. The box seems quiet. If I'll turn it over to everybody, so you guys can do your closings.
Thank you, everybody. Can
they have the host's contact information? So please put up, there is contact information on the screen for the folks over at FanVest. And then if we can put up the slide, Rachel, with your contact and my contact, that would be great.
Yeah.
That way the audience can capture all four of us.
Just one second, guys. I will get that in a second. So there we go. Fortunately, as I go this way, you get to see everything again, which is great.
And then I just wanted to quickly go, while you flip through those, thank you so much, Michael, wanted to go over a couple things quickly. For those of you that don't know, we now have the Entrust Group app out. So feel free to download it and let us know if you have any questions. As Tony stated, please do reach out to us with any questions that you have. We also have the client online portal, which has a whole host of things that you can do online, including Entrust Connect. We do have companies listed on Entrust Connect. As we've stated a few times, we do not endorse or promote any particular business. These are simply companies that are simply companies that some of our clients are investing with. If you have any questions, reach out to us, but thank you so much for joining. And if you haven't registered already, we have our next webinar on November 11th, preparing your IRA beneficiaries for the future.
Rachel, Tony,
Rachel, before you shut it down, two more questions did just come in. So let's get to those and then we can end the webinar.
Okay, perfect.
The first one, what is the retain of investment with FanVestor?
Retain.
Whoever asked that question, can you elaborate on retain? I think it may either be misspelled or shortened. While we wait for that second that question to come back in, is the Entrust app available on Android? Right now, I believe it's only the iOS, or Rachel, confirm. I think Android's in development.
I will leave that to Andrew. Andrew, do you mind chiming in and let us know where this app is available?
Thank you very much. Yeah, IT is working on the Android version, but they did release the Apple version first. So right now, as Tony alluded to, it is only available via Apple right now.
Thank you, Andrew. All right, the question was re-asked, and we can't answer it online. You'd have to contact the folks at FanVest directly. But the question was, if I invest $100,000, what percentage should I expect in a year? Unfortunately, we can't talk about any type of ROI. This is educational purposes only. But feel free to contact them offline. They'd be happy to answer your question.
This is Michael Golan. On behalf of FanVest, I'd like to thank Andrew for running a great exercise today, and also Rachel and Tonya. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye, guys. Thank you.